Hello, and welcome back to episode 24 of Podcast Royal. As always, before we get started, follow us on Instagram at Podcast Royal, email us at hellopodcastroyal@gmail.com, and don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. And thank you so much to those of you that already have. We charted on Apple Podcasts charts recently in the history category. We're still there as of this moment. I hope we stay there forever. And we will, because of the support of our incredible Podcast Royal family. We are so thankful for you. So we took an unexpected week off last week due to a family emergency, but we are back and excited to have our first guest on the podcast today. We'll reveal that in a little bit. We will properly celebrate William and Kate's 10th wedding anniversary next week on episode 25. So how are you, Jessica?
I'm doing well, and I'm so excited to have our first guest on the show today. This was something you and I have been looking forward to for quite a while, and we've recently, I feel like there's been so much going on. We've had some other episodes, and we've pushed some things out, and then we've had some new stuff coming our way, and I'm really excited we could have our guests on today.
Yes, and we will reveal who that is at the end of the Royal Rundown, which we are keeping intentionally short because we want to save the bulk of this episode for our incredible guests. So I'm going to jump right into the Royal Rundown. So the Royal mourning period for Prince Philip's passing has ended. And on the heels of Prince Louis's third birthday on April 23rd, we just celebrated the one, the only, the queen of the sass and the queen of the wave, Princess Charlotte's sixth birthday this past Sunday, May 2nd. And the day after this episode comes out on May 6th, we will celebrate Archie Harrison Mountbatten Windsor's second birthday. And also, history buffs, May 6th was the day Princess Margaret was married in 1960. And in the midst of the funeral, we were remiss in omitting a very special birthday wish to the hottest royal adjacent man, James Middleton, who turned 34 on April 15th. And Eugenie also posted a sweet tribute to Jack, her husband, on his birthday this week. So much to celebrate. So Jessica, can you believe these kiddos are growing up this fast?
No, I cannot. I mean, I feel like the Sussex wedding was just the other day. And every time Kate shares a new photo of one of the Cambridge kids, they look so grown up to me. I just can't get over it. I mean, Prince Louis, he's growing so fast. I feel like he was just born as well.
Oh, and the Sussex's third anniversary is in a couple of weeks. Can you believe that?
No, I mean, time just goes by so quickly, I feel like.
The days are long, but the years are short, right? So this news is a little bit old at this point because we didn't record last week, but if you will be in London this summer, all the way into early January 2022, a new exhibit is making its way to Kensington Palace that I would give just about anything to see. I've got to find a way to get to this exhibit. I don't know how it's going to happen. I am vaccinated, but I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I've got to get there. It's called Royal Style in the Making, which will feature on display Diana's iconic 1981 wedding dress, and we'll talk about the relationship between royals and the designers who crafted their wedding dresses. The exhibit opens on June 3rd, 2021 and ends January 2nd, 2022. So Jessica, when are we headed to the UK?
Well, you and I have talked about 2022, but it looks like this exhibit is closing out right at the start of 2022. So you may have to adjust those travel plans or squeeze in an extra trip if you can.
Twist my arm for an extra trip to the UK, right? So I've got to find a way to get to that exhibit. So PSA, if anybody wants me to write about that exhibit for you, send me to London. So the Sussexes are at work on projects that are all over the map, focusing on young female leaders, vaccine equity, and mental health. So Meghan's work to empower young girls, which obviously is, if you've studied her at all, is a longtime passion project of hers, continues as she prepares to welcome her own daughter into the world sometime this summer. In April, the Duchess helped organize and led a roundtable with Girls Inc. and the National Women's Law Center that invited 13 to 18 year old activists and leaders to speak about issues their generation is facing. And Meghan and Harry, I think this concert was recorded the other night, but they will continue to make impact as they serve as campaign chairs of Vax Live, the concert to reunite the world, which will, it's already been reported as of this reporting on May 4th, but the concert will air on Saturday, May 8th. It is hosted by Selena Gomez, and it features performances from Jennifer Lopez, her, J Balvin, Eddie Vedder, and the Foo Fighters, which is quite a diverse lineup, if I say so myself. First Lady Dr. Jill Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris will also appear at the event. And the event aims to inspire vaccine confidence worldwide and help get the COVID-19 vaccines to everyone, everywhere, according to a statement from Global Citizen, the sponsor of the concert. So for their part, Meghan and Harry will deliver a message about vaccine equity. It airs on ABC, ABC News Live, CBS, YouTube, and all over the place, basically, at 8 Eastern, 7 Central on May 8th. And a Harry update for you. Oprah Winfrey, speaking on Drew Barrymore's talk show recently, revealed that the documentary series that she and Harry have been working on about mental health will premiere sometime this month, May, on Apple TV Plus. And the project was announced in 2019, but the biggest news just dropped today, Tuesday, May 4th, is Meghan is releasing a children's book. It was announced this morning on Harry and Meghan's Archewell site that Meghan has penned a new children's book called The Bench. The book is about the special bond between father and son as seen through a mother's eyes and was inspired by Harry and Archie's own special relationship. It is illustrated by award-winning artist Christian Robinson. So I don't have any children, but I'm going to have to read this book. Are you going to read the book?
Yeah, I'll be curious to read this. I don't have kids either, but I love a good children's book, especially knowing that it was written from her perspective of her own husband and child's relationship.
Yeah, I've got to get my hands on a copy of that. And speaking of writers, I wanted to give a shout out to one of my favorite writers, Michelle Ruiz, on her just fantastic cover story for Vanity Fair, The Royal Family's Continental Rift. Michelle has been a favorite of mine for a long time, and I aspire to be half of the royal reporter she is. So bravo, Michelle, or brava, Michelle, I should say. And finally, in an adorable end to the royal rundown, apparently the royal families of Sweden, Norway, and Denmark are all very close friends and recently caught up together on a video chat. Who knew that all the European royals were so close? So we've covered the Swedish royal family on the podcast, and we'll probably eventually get to Norway and Denmark. So I didn't know that, did you?
No, I didn't, but it kind of makes sense. I mean, they're all pretty close together, so I could see them having some sort of a bond.
Absolutely. Well, without further ado, we have teased this and teased this and teased this. So I'm actually going to let you, because Jessica was the person that introduced me to this pair. So I'm going to let you introduce, at least tell our, we'll introduce them in a second for real, but tell our listeners who our very first guests are.
So we are so excited today to welcome the Tea and a Buddy podcast host, Dominic and Erica. They are a husband and wife duo, and they have a really great podcast on the differences in British and American culture. And a lot of their listeners are probably Anglophiles, as a lot of our listeners probably are as well. And we thought it would be so much fun to have them come on. And like Rachel said, I've been listening to them for a while and I love their content. And I really am excited for our listeners to hear this. I think you guys will love it as well.
So without further ado, here is Jessica and I's conversation with Dominic and Erica of Tea and a Buddy. We are so excited to have the incredible husband and wife duo, Dominic and Erica Williams of the fantastic show Tea and a Buddy, as our first guest on Podcast Royal. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Happy to be here.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we are such fans. Jessica and I are both listeners and fans of the show, which does talk about the British royal family, but more broadly touches on British culture, American culture and the sometimes stark difference between the two. So Tea and a Buddy covers the gamut with subjects ranging from fashion to music to food to travel to pop culture. So listeners, make sure you subscribe to this show. I know you'll love it as much as we do. How are you, Dominic and Erica?
We are fine. We're coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Yeah, we're doing okay. Yeah. Trying to stay cool. It's already summer here in Austin.
Just reading all that off there. I was like, do we do all that?
Oh my God, I know.
It seems like we just have a chat, you know.
You do, and you do it well. So, okay.
Well, thank you.
Tell listeners your love story. How did an American girl fall in love with a British man, and how did the two of you end up in Austin, Texas?
How did you meet me?
Oh my gosh. We met on social media.
Oh yeah.
It's a very modern love story.
Very modern. It seems like a long time ago now, doesn't it?
Yeah. It was a very long time ago, actually.
It wasn't that long ago.
And yeah, he just messaged. We're both huge Beatles fans.
Yeah.
So we were sort of like, we met because of that, really.
Yeah.
And bonded over that. And I don't know, we just talked for about a year online.
On the phone. Like this, you know, we were talking through a microphone and on, you know.
What was it? MSN Messenger MSN back in those days.
Oh, wow. That is back in the day a little bit.
That is, yeah. That
okay, is. Side ad lib. What are y'all's favorite Beatles songs? Curious.
Oh no.
You're putting us on the spotlight. Yeah. We've got so many.
Impossible question.
I think mine is In My Life because it's just so great, you know. I mean, I'm a big John Lennon fan too. He's my favorite, I think. Even though Erica thinks it's Paul for some reason.
Mine's a little
because I'm left-handed and all that. You know?
He plays the bass
too. Like,
there you go. I think mine is Don't Let Me Down.
Yeah.
Off of
You got that as your ringtone, haven't you?
Yeah, that's a favorite.
So how did you end up in Texas, though?
Well, this is where I've lived my whole life. So we met in person like a year after we met online. And then we kind of dated long distance, visiting each other back and forth for about, what was it, like 3 years?
3 years, yeah. I mean, you came over a couple of times and I came over here.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those things, you know, that's like, where are we going to go? You know, are you going to come to England or am I going to come to Texas? But I figured I'd come to Texas because it was easier.
Easier visa route. Wise.
Yeah.
Not to get into a like a long, boring visa story, but yeah, it's just easier to come to America in general. So that's what we did.
Well, all three of the women on this podcast currently are from the American South. So Dominic, you're in good company.
Oh yeah. I love it.
So you guys are now 245 episodes into Tea and a Buddy, and I've listened to all 245. Congratulations.
Oh my gosh. Thank you.
Has it been 245?
Yeah, it has.
I have to say, just to be sure. So tell us what Tea and a Buddy means, first of all, and how you guys got the idea to launch the show.
I'll let Dominic take this.
We started a Beatles podcast a couple of years ago now, wasn't it?
Yeah.
On the old site, The Beatles Through the Years, it was called. And we had guests on that. And we just started doing that. And then we just decided, you know, more people are asking questions about generally about us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what's it like to be married to a British person and an American and all that kind of stuff. So
we
just decided, you know, why not just make a podcast about this, you know, because The Beatles very, you know, it's got a big fan base worldwide and everything, but it's, you know,
it's a limited topic.
Yeah. And everybody's doing it. And I suppose you could say everyone's doing this now, really, but, you know. We're
not like you are. For the non-British among us, i.e. me, what is Tea and a Buddy?
It's just a cup of tea and a sandwich.
A buddy is a sandwich?
Yeah. It's a sandwich, yeah. It's like colloquial slang, you know, because British slang, yeah. I mean, that's been something.
In Britain, they eat like chicken buddies. So buddy is short for butter.
Or a cheese butter.
It's basically just bread with butter on it and then chicken or chips. Chips meaning French, what we call French fries.
Yeah, that's
which
the,
is
that's
disgusting. The... Let's be honest.
It's delicious. It's delicious. Don't listen to her.
So Erica, fish and chips.
Erica, yeah, you might not know this. But my mom is British. She's from England. And I remember when I was a kid, sometimes like after dinner, if we had leftover fries, mom would take a piece of bread and put butter on it and French fries on it and fold it over and eat it. And
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. So Tina Buddy is sort of just like, you know, you sit down, you're having a snack, you're having a cup of tea, and you're having a chat. Yeah. That's basically where it comes from.
I love it. Yeah. So the show focuses mainly on the differences between British culture and American culture. So what have you found is one of the most prevalent, powerful differences between the two cultures?
Oh my gosh.
There's quite a lot, really, isn't
yeah.
there?
There's a lot. Yeah, way more than you would think.
Because I mean, when I first met you, I didn't think it was going to be that different. I was quite naive, you know, when I moved over here, because I thought, you know, and I think that's the same thing for like an American moving to Britain. They think, oh yeah, speak the same language, mm-hmm. you know, do roughly the same things. Yeah. And but it's like, yeah, it's quite different.
The biggest one. Oh gosh, I don't know. That's just the language, I think, in general. A lot of people tend to think that our sense of comedy is very different, but for me, I think that it's more just to do with the language is just so different that it really doesn't translate to American English, a lot of the jokes that are made in British comedy. So I think that is where the difference is, rather than just the style of comedy, because I mean, Britain has slapstick comedy and everything that exists over here, but it's just like so often the slang and just the use of certain words just mean completely different things depending on which side of the Atlantic you're on.
I mean, American comedy is exported a lot. I mean, there's so much of it in the UK that you were even surprised when you came over. You were like, oh, you've got all the, you know, these random shows that, you know,
like really obscure shows, you guys, that were not even that popular over here, like My Wife and Kids. I remember it was on in Britain one day. I was just like, what? This comes on over here. What is happening?
And I mean, I don't know if it's because it's like such a broad scent, general humor or whatever. But yeah, I mean, stuff like, you know, when I came over here, I expected people to know about like Only Fools and Horses and One Foot in the Grave and all these other things, you know.
Yeah.
I was just like, you've never heard of that.
Never.
Why are you joking? You know, it was just so crazy to me.
Would you say that the British shows that we see in the US are really popular shows over in the UK?
Yeah, I think everything
half
really,
and half.
It's kind of half and half. Yeah, I mean, you know, I see PBS shows and stuff like that. You know, it's like the biggest shows that were available around the time. You know, like the sitcoms that repeat over here, like Keeping Up Appearances and Are You Being Served?
My mom loves that show.
That was very popular in the
90s.
Yeah,
say that.
Keeping Up Appearances,
never missed show for her. She loves that.
And you know, there's like all this like Paul Dark. That was
again. Yeah.
Well, actually, Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey was huge anyway. That kind of broke through PBS, mm-hmm. you know, and got into like network mainstream media or whatever, you know, and it was really huge and it was very surprising because it was like, oh yeah, you know, because it's I suppose it's that whole like almost royal type thing.
Yeah,
you know?
We recently got a VPN, so we've been watching a lot of British shows that are like on over there right now, we just caught up. We wanted to be sure and mention this since you guys focused podcast. We just caught up on this series called, what was it?
The Windsors. Yeah.
Oh, it's on Channel 4. That show is hilarious.
Do you guys know about that?
Yeah. Oh, I figured they would. Yeah.
We didn't know anything about that show. Oh my gosh. It was so
funny.
Just letting
you know, that's not really how I mean, it is, but it isn't, right?
It's very exaggerated soap opera style.
Yes.
It's hilarious, though.
It's the alternate Crown.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the royal family, Jessica.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about another American girl and a British boy, Harry and Meghan. Do you guys, I know you've talked about them in some of your recent episodes and I've listened, and I'm wondering, do you think that Meghan and Harry will ever be able to mend fences with their family, like Charles and William and Kate?
I hope so.
I mean, I'm sort of like eternally optimistic. So I really hope so, because I mean, they are real life people, aren't they? They're a real family. It's like,
unfortunately, as they were talking about in that interview, you know, like they're talking about the crown and stuff, and people think, oh, you know, it's important to point out that that's not real. It's based on real events.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and you know, it's like, but people want it to be fictional, you know, people want it to be like sensationalized and stuff, you know, so they put out these things, you know, the firm and everything that she's referring to as the palace.
Yeah.
Because what did Prince Philip and the crown call them? Those god-awful moustaches who run the palace.
Yeah.
It's just the collection of them, you know, and it's like those are the people that run the place. And, you know, I kind of have some sympathy with him on that score, you know, and her, because it must be so, you know, limiting, you know, when you're sort of told you can't do this and you can't do that, and you have to dress like this and talk like that. And, you know, it's just like, you know.
Yeah.
But she surely would have known that maybe before going in. But,
I mean, yeah.
I mean, you know, that's yeah. Where it's, yeah.
We've done an episode on the Oprah interview. It was actually our most listened to episode.
Yeah.
Oh, I can imagine.
I can imagine, yeah. So.
But yeah, I am optimistic also. I, you know, I'm not expecting something to change overnight.
Right.
Yeah. I imagine the Queen, you know, is very like invested. She's very forward thinking, Her Majesty, you know. So yeah. She's very, you know, like she knows, she's been through this a lot.
A couple of times. The same scenario,
you know, even when she was a little girl with Edward, you know, yeah. Abdicating to move to America.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we just celebrated the 10th anniversary, right, of William and Kate's wedding, and you all married in 2010, if I'm correct. So you would have potentially watched the wedding together because they married in 2011. So what are your memories of the occasion?
Well, what are your memories?
What are my memories of being woken up at 4 a.m. to put the VHS tape in?
Just remember that, because I was 2011.
Don't.
I'm revealing all the secrets here.
Don't go there.
Like, wait, what year did the wedding happen?
2011. Yeah. It might as well have been Charles and Diana's wedding. You know,
I swear, it was like pitch black in here. We have this little dinky VCR still, and I have a tape ready because I think I got it ready the night before, and I'm like stumbling around in the dark.
YouTube was pretty new back, because you know nowadays, you know, it's like Meghan and Harry's wedding. Oh, we'll watch it on YouTube later, or we'll watch it somewhere. Yeah. Someone will have the highlights. You know, it'll be online for everyone to watch. But for some reason, back in 2011, it was like the internet was still a new thing. You know, it's like that kind of thing was still a new kind of thing. Like, oh, we've got to see it live, you know. And I think that's what piqued your interest. You just got so into it.
I wanted to see it from absolutely beginning to end. Like, I didn't want to see any kind of edited version. But at the same time, I wasn't willing to, like, fully wake up and watch it because I had to go to work later. So I just, like, popped the VCR. I mean, popped the tape in.
I remember you turning the TV on and the car was coming down the mall or something. And I was just like, what, you know?
Yes, I'll never live it down.
Hey, look, I was up at 4 a.m. It's a respect. Like, we were all there in our own way. So
yeah, and it was perfect. I was so happy. I was just like, this is the best day.
It was perfect. that dress moment, I'll never get over.
Yeah,
got out of the car and
took
my breath away.
Yes, same. I was like, it's like the perfect dress. She couldn't have chosen anything else.
Yes.
One question that I've got for you guys, and I've been wondering this, and I may have actually submitted it on your Instagram one time, but what do British people think of the royal family as a whole?
I think me answering that, I think they're like Marmite. If you understand that reference, it's like you either love them or you hate them.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
You know, they're kind of polarizing.
It's very split.
I mean, you'd imagine there'd be more monarchists than anti-monarchists, but I think it's kind of evenly split. It's like they kind of keep each other, you know, in check. You know, there's some, you know, you know, in like the early 90s and stuff, when she had a Annus Horribilis, the queen, you know, there was calls for like, oh yeah, we should just do away with the monarchy and go be a republic of the United Kingdom. But, you know, they turned it back around, you know. You know, I don't know how they managed to keep doing it. And, you know, people say, oh, well, when the queen goes and Charles is king, nobody will want to do, you know,
nobody's going to be interested anymore.
But I'm like, no, this monarchy has lasted a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, compared to all the other European monarchies who are still, well, most of them are gone now, I think, you know. Yeah.
You know, my experience was that it seemed to me that a lot of British people are not fans of the royal family, but then you have this Harry and Meghan interview and it seems the exact opposite. All of a sudden, everybody's like, how dare they do this?
And I was
like,
I thought
you guys didn't like the royal family. Like, yeah, what is going on here?
It's like, you know, it's like nationalist pride, you know, it's like, you know, how dare they do that to our poor queen, you know, and our, the poor family and everything, you know.
Yeah, so I don't really think they're going anywhere anytime soon.
No,
I think that nothing's new under the sun. They've survived so much over the 104 years of the Windsor House of Windsor. So when you brought this up, Dominic, and I'd like to hear both of your thoughts on Charles as king and Camilla as queen consort.
I think, you know, seeing how Charles is, I think it would be a good thing. I think, you know, he'd be pretty good as king, you know, really.
Because like
he's had long enough to prepare, hasn't he?
the longest apprenticeship of all time.
You know, I can imagine him taking the throne and saying, well, I wasn't ready for this, you know.
Right. Like, I mean, he's had the
prevalence.
This has come as a shock to me.
Yeah.
Oh, but I think he's going to be good because he's got a lot of like ideas for conservationism, and you know,
he's been very into the environment for a very long time
before it
was trendy and chic to be into the environment. Yeah,
everyone laughed at him, but now they're all kind of taking notice. So, you know,
everyone thought Charles was so weird for choosing that as his pet cause, but now of course everyone is on board. So
Yeah, so I mean, I think it'll be interesting. We just have to wait and see what happens, I guess.
And these people saying, oh, skip a generation, go to William and Kate. And I think they just want that because they want like Queen Kate, you know?
Queen Kate. They would rather have Kate than Camilla, I guess. I don't know.
I can see that. I can
see that. You know, it's younger.
After all of this waiting, though, Charles is not going to give that up.
Absolutely. Oh, no.
He's not going to give it up. No, I mean, it's, you know, I can't see him abdicating and handing it to William. Mm-mm. You know,
no, I don't think so.
No way.
Although that
no
would way. Be juicy though. I can imagine saying, well, thank you for this, but no thank you.
Another I'm twist in the royal saga.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know if you guys get super involved in the baby name games of the royals, but I know Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have a baby due anytime now. And I'm wondering if you guys have any name predictions.
I haven't even thought about it, actually.
I don't think.
You know what? I was recently wondering.
I think you should go David.
David?
Yeah.
Oh, why?
Oh, for is that a boy or a girl?
It doesn't matter. Just David.
The next one will be David because, you know, it's like, you know, because, you know, the similarities between Edward VIII and all.
Right,
that,
that's what you were going
for. That's what I was going for. I'm predicting the third child here.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I'm going to tell you guys my baby name prediction, and I don't think I've ever said this out loud. So I think, and they won't, I doubt they'll do this, but wouldn't it be so cute if they named the little girl Spencer, like a girl Spencer, like
after
Spencer
cute.
Sussex, little Spencer Sussex.
Yeah.
But that sounds like a very that sounds like a very American Southern name. So I say, but that's my dream of life. So, okay, we kind of touched on this. Where do you see the monarchy going in the next 5 to 10 years? What, you know, I mean, I know you're not a fortune teller, but what's next? You know, what's ahead?
What's next, Erica? You tell us.
I mean, I don't,
I don't know. You guys probably could answer that question better than us.
We don't know because it changes. We could have never predicted Harry, Meghan, and Oprah. So we're just
That was something. I mean,
I think the Queen's gonna hang on.
She's gonna hang on.
Yeah. Her mom lasted until what, 101, wasn't it?
Yeah,
102.
So,
yeah.
Oh, 102.
So yes, I mean she's I think she's gonna stick around. She seems fairly healthy and
I think she's had good innings and she'll go on, and I think it'll, you know, when Charles takes over and all that, it'll keep going the way it's always been going. You know, there'll be, you know, it's just when the kids grow up of like William and Kate and mm-hmm. everything like that, you know, like George and
Charlotte
who's apparently quite a quite
mischievous
shall we say. Yeah. You know, so I'd like to see her in her teenage and later years.
Oh gosh, you know? see what's coming there.
My goodness, yes.
So we bit of a side note, but talking about the future, assuming travel opens back up at some point in the near future, do you guys have any plans to go back and visit the UK?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think probably as soon as possible.
As soon as possible, we'll go back, I think.
I mean, we've got things that we have to do here. So, but I'd say within the next year at least. Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
What about you guys? Do you go to the UK very often? Or
I think it does.
I went for the first time in 2015. I mentioned that's where my mom is from, and I went with her and my grandmother, and mm-hmm. That was so much fun. Went to my mom's hometown. She's from Benbrook, England, and we were in London while we were there, and Rachel and I have actually sort of promised each other we're going to plan a trip for 2022. So
that'll be awesome, Jubilee. Yeah. We want to go to the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. So,
Yeah, she'll be there for that.
Yeah.
So guaranteed. She will be there for that with bells on. There's no way she's not going to be there for that.
Yeah.
So. That would be an amazing experience. Yeah definitely.
I think we'll probably join you for that one.
Well, why don't we all four go and we'll just go to the Platinum Jubilee and go?
Yeah, there we go.
We'll get an invitation from Her Majesty. We'll, you know, stay in one of the
obviously. You know? These four podcasters that live in the American South are on the top of the guest list.
You never know.
We can kick Andrew out of Frogmore Cottage or whatever.
Andrew can go.
We can just go, live where he's.
Every British person knows the Queen anyway, right?
Yeah. I have her on speed dial. I haven't told Erica that, so I suppose now is as good a time as any.
So I've got one last question for you guys. If you could sit down with any member of the royal family and record your Tea and a Buddy podcast, who would it be and why?
Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna say William and Kate.
Oh really?
Yeah,
they're quite fun. I mean, as far as fun, I think so, but I think it would just be, I'd have to have the Queen on, right?
You'd have to have the Queen, I suppose so.
Yeah, I mean, she's just been through it all, and I would definitely like to, you know, get all the gossip as if that would happen, but
you never know, she might be feeling up to talking that day.
Like, well, you know, all out there, right?
Yeah,
laying it all out there, all everything.
But William and Kate, yeah, I agree. I've seen them in what was it? Some interview we were watching,
Radio One,
and they're quite playful, and I think they would be fun to talk to. Yeah. What about you guys? Have you talked about this before? I'm just curious.
We have not. Oh my gosh, that's so now
the dream guest.
Now it's on us. My goodness, you know, William and Kate. I'll choose something different. I'll go with the wild card, and I'd like to have Sophie on the podcast.
I love Sophie.
I mm-hmm. think she's the backbone of the family, and I want to hear, she's one of the Queen's closest confidants, so I want to hear how the Queen's doing, how she's holding up, and how everybody is, just how it is being the emotional support backbone of the family.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, Sophie and Edward. Edward, you know, he's really like, you know, absolutely unassuming, you know, keep your head down and do it. A bit like Princess Anne.
Yeah.
Anne would be fun too. Anne is a wild card too. She's sassy and personality plus all of it. Yeah. So I would
she'd probably give the gossip actually, you know, more than the queen. Oh, yeah. She'd probably just like, oh yeah, everything, you know.
Yeah.
She'd keep it very real. So what about you, Jessica? We've never had this conversation.
No, I'm really torn. On one hand, I would love to sit down with Kate and just hear her story of, you know, meeting William and having, like, you know, I want to know the experience of marrying into the family and
right.
You know, what that's like. But then on the other hand, I would love to sit down with Queen Elizabeth and hear her story as well. I'm curious as to what it's like to be a child in the royal family.
Yeah. You know,
living in the castle as a child and how they understand the way the public views them and how they comprehend that would be really fascinating to learn.
Yeah.
I think if there was no holds barred and she would talk about it, I'd love to hear her thoughts on the abdication because she was a child at the time of that. So I'd love to hear what she actually thought, you know, when they came to her and said, well, dad's going to be king now.
Yeah.
And, Such a turning point in her young life.
It's just like, oh, I thought I was just going to be, you know, a regular old princess, you know.
A regular old princess.
You know, I wasn't ready for this, you know. I mean, because, you know, he really wasn't ready, poor thing, you know.
Yeah.
George the Sixth. But, yeah, so I'd like to, you know, if she'd talk about that and, you know, just how she felt at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you two have been just the absolute perfect first guest. We couldn't have chosen to. We love your show.
Well, thank you very much. You know, this has been a pleasant experience.
It's so much fun.
Yes, we're going to play a game with you. But before we do that, tell our listeners where they can find you, because after this, I'm sure they're all going to want to go subscribe, as they should, to Tea and a Buddy. Mm-hmm. So where can our listeners find you?
Okay. Our podcast is on all major podcast platforms. So we post to Anchor, but they then distribute them. So you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, just Stitcher, I think.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're on about 10 platforms.
Yeah.
Right now.
You're all over social media as well. And I should say that it's Butty, not Buddy.
Yes, yes. A lot of people get that because, you know, I guess it's my accent too.
No, it's me. I was going to say it's my lack of enunciation. It's Butty.
Yeah.
Butty. Tina Butty.
Yeah.
So I've lived here for so long. I say Buddy too. Like, so.
We've started ending our podcasts with, be sure to follow us on social media. It's TEABUTTY because I don't know. We recently had a couple
of people calling. Oh, we love Tina Buddy.
We didn't know you were on Instagram or whatever.
Well, I searched Tina Buddy.
Yeah.
And what does a buddy mean? You know,
well, us Americans don't know what a butty isn't, so they're like, oh, it's just tea with my buddy, with my pal,
my friend.
Maybe we'll start an offshoot podcast and confuse everyone. It's like,
okay, well,
before
we let you go, Jessica is going to play a game with you and test your royal knowledge. So get your
hats on. These are fun questions.
Good thing we've been rewatching The Crown.
Well, so this is going to be a little bit more current culture, I guess, questions. And I did have a little mercy on you guys. I made it multiple choice. So
it was originally not multiple choice.
We've got 10 questions. Rachel, you want to keep score? And we'll see. We'll do Erica versus Dominic and see who wins.
Ooh. Oh my gosh.
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay. Question number one, which royal started her own book club in 2020 that has featured several books, including Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens and The Red Notebook by Antoine Lorraine? A, Meghan Markle, B, Fergie, or C, Camilla?
I'm going to say Fergie.
Oh, I'm going to say Meghan Markle.
So it's actually Camilla.
Camilla.
Okay, Erica, I thought it was and Dominic. I am a quote unquote royal expert, which is a very loose term, and Jessica quizzes me a lot on this show, and I always get it wrong. So thank you for getting the first one wrong because you make me feel a little bit better about myself.
Well, I'll make you feel better. So her room, her book club is called The Duchess of Cornwall's Reading Room. But Fergie, if you want to laugh, actually has an Instagram profile called Storytime with Fergie and Friends. And she reads children's books over there and she gets all dressed up and like acts it out. And it's just so funny to go watch.
Oh, that's cute.
So. She's always been into that. I remember as a kid, she had a show, Fergie now, Budgie the Helicopter. She wrote it or something and it got on TV and everything. Huh. So yeah, I don't know if that didn't last too long, I suppose, but I guess the family put a stop to it. Maybe. Can't be having you talking about helicopters, Bogie. What's going on here?
Okay, question two. Kate Middleton's mom, Carol Middleton, started a party supply store in 1987 and still owns it today. What's the name of the company? Is it A, Party Pieces, B, Popping Bottles, or C, Piece of Cake?
I'm going to get this one wrong. You
want to answer first?
B, Popping Bottles.
I was going to say C, Piece of Cake.
Is it A?
Yes, A, Party
Unbelievable.
We're really doing all this on purpose, anyway. We're just avoiding the right answer.
Okay, you're gonna get the next one. I know. I was
just thinking the Windsors in that. You know, it was like that episode where they're like making fun of the, party planning. Yeah,
I am 100% sure you're gonna get the next one right.
Okay. So Prince Harry was a guest on the Late Late Show with James Corden earlier this year, where he toured LA. During the show, he called Meghan, who revealed her new nickname for him. What was the nickname? A, Hairs. B, Has. Or C, Harry Boy.
Do you want to go with that one?
It's B. Yeah. B, we has. Saw that one. So
I told you.
We know that one.
That
right.
Yeah. Okay. Dominic's now referring to him as Hazza.
Hazza and Megs. Yeah. Hazza.
And I know that because I listened to your episode about the Oprah interview. It's called Haz and Megs.
Yeah.
So I knew Haz and Megs.
Yeah.
So, okay. Question four. The Queen's granddaughter, Zara Tyndall, recently had an unexpected and traumatic experience. What happened to her? A, she got stuck traveling abroad due to pandemic travel restrictions and had to stay in another country away from her family for a month. B, she won the lottery and had to return the money because royals can't accept lottery winnings. Or C, she gave birth on the bathroom floor of her home.
Oh, I think it was C, was it?
I was going
to
go A.
I thought it was something to do with a baby. I seem to think that I've heard something to do with a baby recently, but I could be wrong. I'm going to say C, but I don't know.
I'm going to go A because B sounds like the right answer.
If it's B, then my life has just been made.
She won the lottery. First of all, she won the lottery when she was born into the royal family. Yeah. Right. So you don't need to play the lottery anymore. So, Jessica, go ahead.
It's C. Yeah, she gave birth at home on the bathroom floor.
Erica, 1 point. My nil
Erica's
point.
Up. 2-1, Erica.
All right, number five. Which royal has a love of photography and conducted the Hold Still project in 2020, which featured 100 photographed images taken by members of the UK public documenting their experiences with the coronavirus pandemic? A, Sophie, the Countess of Wessex. B, Kate Middleton, Duchess of Cambridge, or C, Princess Anne?
I am going to go with A, and then I'm just going to
go go with A too, actually.
With Sophie?
Yeah.
It sounds like, but I was originally going to go with Anne, but
okay, so A. Correct answer is Kate Middleton.
Oh, really?
So he's a very good photographer.
We're just avoiding the right answers here.
Oh, wow. Guys, go to the Kensington Royal Instagram page. Almost all the pictures of their kids she's taken.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I do remember seeing a lot of pictures of her with a camera, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
So the Hold Still project they selected 100 photos. They had a bunch submitted from the public, and you can actually get a hardback copy. I think it's coming out on May 7th. It looks like it's about $34, but it's going to be released as a book.
Okay, cool.
Okay, number six. Queen Elizabeth is not a foodie and is more a creature of habit when it comes to daily meals, eating a popular American on-the-go breakfast almost every morning, of course, along with a very British cup of tea. Which standard American breakfast does she prefer? A, a frosted blueberry Pop-Tart. B, an Egg McMuffin from McDonald's. Or C, a bowl of Kellogg's Special K cereal.
The thing that popped into my head was Pop-Tart.
Are you?
Yeah. I think it might be Pop-Tart.
Are you serious? I would just automatically assume C, just
because of the other two options. But I don't love those things. It's absolutely marvelous.
What's your final answer?
I'm going to go A.
Okay.
C.
Final answer. Okay. The answer is a bowl of cereal.
Yeah.
Okay. You think the queen's eating a Pop-Tart?
Yes. She loves a good Pop-Tart.
Just the image of her with a frosted blueberry Pop-Tart. It's like
specifically the frosted blueberry.
She has the footman cut them up.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
All right. There's
a little toaster and everything. You know, to toast them and everything.
Let's see, a couple questions left. Okay, number 7. Meghan Markle is not the only outsider royal born in a foreign country. Prince Philip was also born outside of the UK. Where was he born? A, Germany. B, Greece. Or C, Denmark?
Born.
That's a tricky one, Jessica.
It's a trick question.
That's a tricky question.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to go with Greece.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say too, but I don't know if he was born there.
He might have been born in Germany, I think. But yeah, I'm going to go with Greece. I'm going to stick with Greece because I'm on a roll here.
Does that mean...
I've had my Pop-Tarts this morning with Her Majesty. I'm on a roll here.
Does that mean I shouldn't go with Greece then, just because that's what you chose? Oh, I'm going to say Greece too, because I'm not really sure. I'm curious, though.
So it wasn't too tricky of a question because you guys got it right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good.
Good job. Okay. Score update 4-2. Erica leads.
Yay. Yeah.
It's like the World Cup all over again.
All right. Number 8. Which royal surprised the public by having a private wedding in secret during the midst of the pandemic last July? Princess Eugenie of York, Princess Beatrice of York, or Lady Louise, the daughter of Prince Edward?
I think it was one of the...
I know the answer.
Is it Eugenie?
Is that your answer?
Yeah, Eugenie. I'm going to say Eugenie.
Beatrice.
It's Beatrice.
Imagine if I'd gotten it wrong. I know the answer.
With that,
I knew it was one of them anyway.
It's Beatrice. Good job.
All right. Number 9. Meghan Markle recently invested in a woman-owned California-based company called Clever Brands, and she sent a basket of their products to Oprah, who shared it on Instagram. What product does the company sell? A, wellness latte mixes. B, healthy snack foods. Or C, non-toxic skincare products.
I'm not really sure. I'm going to say C.
Yeah, C.
C for you too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually wellness latte mixes.
Wellness latte. Okay.
Oh, I do remember seeing something about the coffee now. Something about, oh, she's flogging coffee or something.
She's flogging
something, you know, one of those headlines, you know, one of those tabloid headlines.
The Portobello Road Market.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, last question. Y'all will get this. Or at least Erica will.
We've got one more question and then we've got a bonus. So... number 10, Prince William and Kate Middleton just celebrated their 10th wedding anniversary last week. Where were they married? A, St. George's Chapel. B, Westminster Abbey. Or C, Las Vegas?
Las Vegas.
Well, it was obviously C, wasn't it? Did you see the Elvis impersonator that married them? No, it was B.
Yeah, Westminster Abbey. Yeah,
I was kind of like, oh, was it St. Paul's now, or was it?
That was Charles and Diana.
Yeah.
Okay, that's so right. Pre bonus question: Erica 6, Dominic 3.
Oh my gosh. So need the bonus.
Erica wins, but you can go ahead and do the bonus.
Yeah, the bonus was just because I wanted to put this last question in here.
I don't know the answer to the bonus.
No, you don't.
Uh-oh. It doesn't bode well.
That doesn't really mean anything. I've gotten many a question wrong on this podcast. So
bonus question, which dish is a favorite of Kate Middleton's that Prince William actually has a bit of a tough time eating? A, black pudding, B, pork pie, or C, curry?
Is it curry?
Maybe.
Because they were talking about that on the radio one that interview. Like, oh, we got a takeaway in. Yeah, curry. And she got all excited. She was like, curry. Yeah, curry night.
And he said, oh, I don't do curry. Oh, I don't do spice.
Yeah. So it might be curry.
Yeah. Let's go with curry. I hope it's curry because I've never had a pork pie, but just no.
I can imagine Kate getting really annoyed with the delivery if they didn't get the poppadoms or something. Like, oh. I forgot.
I don't know the answer to this. I think they're right. I think it's curry.
Yeah, I loved how you guys got to that answer. correct. It's curry. Yep.
Yay. Apparently,
Prince William has a hard time with spicy food.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there, I do remember him saying, oh, I have.
He needs to go with the chicken tikka.
Well, surely he knows about chicken tikka.
Or korma. You could have a nice korma or a pasanda while she chows down on the vindaloo.
I had curry last night for the first time in my life, by the way. What? I had tikka masala last night. It was incredible.
Yeah, you see. Comfort.
I need more.
That's what keeps the royal family running.
Yeah.
Curry. Except William, apparently.
Okay, final score. Erica 7, Dominic 4. Erica is our trivia champion. All right, you two are incredible. We love your podcast, and now we know you and we love you too. So come on anytime, and listeners, go check them out. They are a great show, and thank you for being our first guest.
Thanks for having us.
Pleasure.
Yeah. It's been
wonderful. Yeah.
Nice to meet both of you.
Well, and we just hope to chat with you soon. Okay, so that was so much fun. Are they not fantastic?
Yes, I had so much fun doing that. Dominic, Erica, great job. Thank you so much again for coming on. It was so much fun to sit there and chat with them.
Our very first guest. I feel like we've reached a podcasting milestone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, again, thank you, Dominic and Erica. Follow them, follow their podcast, follow them on social media. And listeners, thank you so much for tuning into episode 24 of Podcast Royal. Again, thank you to our friends at Tea and a Buddy for being our very first guest on the show. We will chat with you next week. Bye.
Bye.